I want to pick up. This is actually part two of a sermon that I preached. So it's been 2 months since I preached part one. It was the first Sunday night of January. And the sermon title is How Jesus Responds to Faith. And we talked the first time about how the just live by faith. There's four scriptures in the Bible that say that exact statement, the just shall live by faith. And so in talking about that, we made these statements and discoveries that faith is not a religious accessory. It's the life principle of the believer. Faith is how we live, not just how we receive. You know, God never intended us to have faith events and moments. He intends us to live by faith. So we just don't visit our faith occasionally. We live in it. We live by it. We don't borrow faith for emergencies. Amen. You know, our faith is not an emergency check cashing, you know, check and go or cash and go, ever how they, some of those are named. And we don't outsource our faith to others. Now, there is a corporateness of faith, thank God for that, but we don't outsource it to others. And so we said this, faith is not what we use when we break down. Faith is how we live. And so we saw that Jesus responds to faith. We won't go through all that. But I want to pick up here and talk to tonight about some statements that Jesus, remember, Jesus responded to faith. What did Jesus do with our faith? And we're going to look at some things where Jesus corrected and required faith and made some statements concerning faith to help us all. Again, faith must be exercised. Faith must be developed. Faith must be protected. It's just like muscles in your body, if you will. You've got muscles, but you have to exercise them. Is that true? You got to work them out. Amen. You know, my son and I have the same muscles in our bodies, the exact same muscles in our body. He's just worked his out a lot more than I have. Mine are older than his, but he's worked them out. Amen. And so, if you know my son, you know what that's all about. All right. First off, point number one, little faith limits manifestations. Little faith. Now, I'm not going to let's not make light of little faith, but in the way that Jesus talks about it. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. And Jesus, they're in the ship here, and Jesus has sent his disciples. They're all together, and they're supposed to go across the Sea of Galilee there together. And Jesus is asleep in the back of the boat, and the disciples, you know, are upset because they, you know, some of these guys are fishermen. They know what happens on the Sea of Galilee. Sea of Galilee kind of sits in a bowl, you know, and you can't see the storms coming until it's almost too late. You get caught out in the middle of that 7 mile. Sometimes it's been called the Lake Sea of Galilee, the Sea of Tiberias, the Lake of Gennesaret. But that 7 mile stretch of water, you get out in the middle, and it's a long way in. You're probably not going to be able to swim it. It's that, unless you've, you know, of course, trained for it like that. But they're out there, and they came to him, and they woke him up and said, "Don't you care that we're going to die? Save us." Verse 26, look what Jesus said. He said, "Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith?" Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. In Mark 4, verse 40, he made this statement, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" Then Luke's account, he says this, Luke 8, 25, and he said to them, "Where is your faith?" And they, being afraid, wondered, saying to one another, "What manner of man is this? For he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." Now, here's something we have to understand about faith and then fear, because they were afraid. Faith and fear, if you will, compete for the same space in our life. And they both operate exactly the same way. Faith is believing what God said to be true, acting upon it, speaking it. Fear is believing, really, the opposite of what God said, but believing it and acting upon it. I'm going to stay right over here. They get this figured out. I'm going to stay right in the sweet spot, all right? Notice this. It's obvious that authority was present there. Authority was present. Jesus had the authority. Actually, he asked them why they didn't. You know, really the inference is there, why didn't you do something about the storm? But notice that without faith, authority will not operate. Their fear had kept them from being able to operate in the authority that they'd been given to go to the other side. And then Mrs. Hagin made this point so well during the week here at Winter Bible Seminar. The storm really believed really revealed what was already in them and what they believed. In other words, when that storm hit, they found out what they did believe and they found out what they didn't believe. And how many of you know the storms of life are going to come to all of us? Jesus talked about there in Matthew chapter 7, I didn't give him this scripture, but verse 24 through 27, he said, if you hear these sayings of mine and do them, he said, you're like a man who built his house upon the rock. And the storm came, the wind blew, the rain fell, but the house didn't fall because they believed. Now, another person heard the word of God and didn't believe it. They built a house. That same storm came to them. It knocked their house down. I've always been interested there as you look at that. Just because you have faith and believe doesn't mean the storms of life aren't going to come your way. But if you're living by faith, in other words, you're living by what you believe, then when the storm comes, your house stands. Now, I'm sure the person who heard the word of God but didn't believe it, didn't act on it, but still built the house anyway. It's not stated, but I can imagine, because I know people. How many of you know people a little bit? I'm sure they cried out to God. They tried to have faith that they'd be kept safe, but it wasn't there because they're trying to have an event of faith. Now, I will say this. God is a miracle-working God, and he's a merciful God, and he'll intervene when we don't deserve it, which we don't deserve any of. But you understand what I'm saying. When we haven't met the qualifications, there are times that God intervenes on our behalf. And we don't ever want to take that out of the equation. But we have to understand it's up to us. And realize, let's emphasize what Jesus emphasized. He said it's because of your little faith or because you have no faith that you're afraid. All right? And so understand that we have that part. I'm also interested, you know, it's interesting to, as you go through the New Testament, especially the Gospels, and you look at the individual folks who were healed by Jesus, not the multitudes, although there was that aspect there too, but in the individuals where we have a personal testimony, and Jesus would interact with them, and you'd see something, and Jesus would speak to them. It was amazing how many times Jesus emphasized the person's faith and not his power. Now, there was times he did it to inspire faith. Remember, he did ask the one, do you believe I'm able to do this? And they said, yes. And he said, well, then according to your faith, be it done unto you. They had to believe he was able. We're not taking that out of the equation. We've got to believe that God is able to do it. Right? You remember Hebrews 11:6, for without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, part of that, I know if you looked at the word that's translated, believe that he is, in that phrase, if you look up originally, the base meaning of it is that God exists. Well, that's kind of a given. Why would you go pray to God if you didn't believe he exists? But then there's a deeper meaning there. We don't leave off the base meaning that God exists. Yeah, he is. But there's a deeper meaning there because it's the phrase he is related to what God told Moses, I am that I am. Well, what are we saying there? When I go to God, I have to believe he is the I am, or he is what it is I need, what I'm coming for. In other words, I have to believe that he is able. But not just he's able. Like the leper who came to Jesus said, I know you can heal me. I just don't know if you will. That's our modern paraphrase there. I just don't know if you will. And Jesus, I like what one translation said, of course I will. be healed. But that's that part in Hebrews 11, 6. We must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Our God's a giver. Aren't you glad? Amen. He's not El Stingy. He's El Shaddai. Not Jehovah Cheapo. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's not the withholder. He's the giver. Now here's something else of Jesus from what Jesus said to someone else. Turn over to Matthew 14 with me. Here's Peter walking on the water. Got to give it to Peter. He did get out of the boat. Right? Peter was that impulsive disciple, you know. Who do you say I am? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Just spoke it right out. Jesus told him how blessed he was because he received that revelation. Came from the Father. Just a few verses later, Jesus said, you know, I'm Son of Man. I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to be crucified. They're going to put me to death. But then Peter rebukes him. That can't happen, Lord. Jesus looks at him and says, get behind me, Satan. Same dude that was blessed. Right? Peter would just boom. Somebody described Peter as that disciple with his mouth shaped like his foot because he kept sticking it in there, you know. That's a phrase, you know, if you're not familiar with that. That means you just misspoke or you spoke too soon. But here's Peter. He jumps out of the boat and, you know, he started just beginning to sink, the Bible says. He cried out to the Lord, save me. Verse 31. Immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said, O you of little faith, wherefore did you doubt? Now notice here, doubt interrupted his miracle. So faith can be interrupted by doubt. Faith worked until he allowed doubt to intervene. Now, Peter had faith. But I want you to notice that doubt divided his focus. When he looked at Jesus, he's walking on the water. When he looked at the wind and the waves, doubt entered in. It is so important. Pastor talked about it today in his sermon this morning. We walk by faith, not by sight. While we look not at things which are seen, because things which are seen are temporary, but things which are not seen are eternal. It's not that we don't see the temporary. We just don't place our focus there. You ever thought about that woman with issue of blood? 12 years. 12 years. What was her focus? Medical science. She was trying to get healed. She went to every doctor she could find. 12 years. The Bible says she grew worse. Nothing. She was not getting any better. She was getting worse. She spent all that she had. She can't afford to go to the doctor anymore. But she heard about Jesus. And it's obvious to me that what she heard about Jesus changed her focus. She's no longer looking to the doctor. Now she's looking to Jesus. And you know this, whatever you place your focus upon is where you will go. Right? You know we're designed that way. God designed mankind, male and female, made he them, made man, male and female, made he them, designed us. We hear best when we look exactly where the sound's coming from. We actually do. We're not, you know, some people want to turn, you know, like this or that, but you actually hear better by looking straight wherever that sound's coming, looking at the sound, the person talking. And we need to focus our gaze on what God said in his word and don't let doubt distract us. Amen. Matthew 17. So doubt is not the absence of faith. It just divides our focus. Here Jesus makes a statement concerning unbelief. Look at verse 20. Jesus said unto him, this was the man brought his son, the disciples couldn't cast the devil out of him. Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as the grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall move, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Nothing shall be impossible unto you if you have faith. Now notice here, he doesn't make light of having a small amount of faith, because a mustard seed is a very small. How many of you remember Pastor Craig bringing that little container of mustard seeds you can buy? You know, I think he went to Walmart and bought some. But there's a whole bunch of them in there, right? But you know, that one seed, it'll grow a tree that spreads out, you know, and gives shade. Birds of the air can flock to it and that type of thing. It's really small, but it makes a great tree. And so here, he's likening faith. He said, if you just have faith. So one part of this is use the faith that you have. You don't have to wait till you have great faith to live by faith. Some people are waiting for, I think, oh, well, if I ever get to this place, then I'll really serve God. No, serve God where you are now. I love that scripture, despise not small beginnings. See, how many of you realize in faith, we all started small. Everybody starts with saving faith. We believe God. We believe what he said. We believe God, that Jesus, who is the Bible says is, that he died for our sins, that God raised him from the dead, and we confess him as our Lord. How do we do that? We do that by faith. We say that in faith. Well, when we believe God, we're born again, praise God. But that's not the end. That's the start. And so we all start there. And so little faith can become great faith. But look what he says. He's saying here, because of your unbelief, you can't exercise authority. Now, they couldn't cast that devil. You can't exercise the authority over the enemy because of unbelief. Mark chapter 9, verse 19 says this, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. Then in Luke 9, 41, Luke's account, Jesus answers, said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring your son hither, or bring him to me. Now here, notice this. Again, talking about this idea of authority, because how many of you know God has given us authority, right? He's given us authority. Jesus in Matthew 28, there verse 18 said, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and earth. Now you go. Thank God for the teaching on the believer's authority. If you haven't read that book lately, read it. All right, that's one of those books you ought to read every year, Brother Hagin's book on believer's authority. And I would suggest the Legacy Edition, the thick one. Read that. There's some things in there. Read that, because it's so vital and so important. And living by faith is living in authority over all the power of the enemy. Not just, you know, sometimes we think of authority. Well, I'm going to take authority over stuff in other people's. No, we're talking about operating and living by faith in my own life and living in the authority that God's given me for my own life, where I take authority over temptation, where I take authority over that, you know, that temptation to not walk in love this time. I take authority over that temptation to give people a piece of my mind. How many of you have met people that have given away so many pieces of their mind they don't have a mind? Anyway, that's a whole other story. Don't point at anybody now. Amen. You know what I'm saying? Authority. We have the authority. You know, sometimes people, that's one of the things, when people are dealing with habitual things in their life and just doesn't seem like, you have to operate every time that temptation comes. You have to use the name of Jesus. You have to, in faith, speak to it, and you have to walk away from it. You don't entertain it. You use your authority. But if you allow unbelief to come in there, and which is believing opposite of what God's word says, then the devil can trick you into not applying your faith. So authority without faith is ineffective. Faith is an action word too. It's not just, sometimes we think about faith it's a concept, but rather faith is an active word. In other words, faith has to be actively applied. You can never say, I have faith, and not do something. You know what I'm saying? And not take action. You can't say, I have faith, and not be speaking. Right? Amen. All right, the next one. Look at Luke 17 with me, if you would, please. You doing all right? Praise the Lord. Luke 17, Now here is account of the 10 men who were lepers who came to Jesus and asked Jesus to heal them. He said, go show yourselves to the priest, told him, go. He said, in other words, when he told him to go show yourself to the priest, he's telling him, you're healed. And they, as they went, one of them realized he's healed. He came back and worshiped Jesus. And so he received a miracle there, and he came back to thank Jesus for it. And Jesus said something to him in verse 19 that we want to discuss. He said to them, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. Now notice what Jesus emphasized here. He emphasized what? The man's faith. Do you see that? He emphasized the man's faith. He says, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. Now, he came back and thanked God and thanked Jesus. He used his faith here. So that tells us this. Faith doesn't stop just because you got a breakthrough. Faith doesn't stop because now you're healed. Faith continues on. Because he told him, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. Go your way. In other words, keep on walking in faith. Keep on acting in faith. Keep on believing. Do you know the word believe is not a one-time action? It's an ongoing thing as far as the Bible's concerned, especially in the New Testament. That's why people ask this question. Well, you know, what happens? Is it once saved, always saved? Well, if you get saved, it means you believed and you keep on believing. It's not just I believed once. You keep on believing. And if you keep on believing, that question about once saved, always saved doesn't even come up. It doesn't even apply to you. You kept on believing. Amen. Belief is action. Belief is ongoing. And faith doesn't stop just because I received the blessing. Our last point tonight is John 20, 29. Let's turn over there. Now, sometimes you hesitate saying stuff like this because you've all heard preachers, and I've done it, talk about, well, I'm not going to preach very long, and then they preach long. But I've learned this. Sunday night after Winter Bible Seminar, Sunday night after camp meeting, you don't need a long sermon. And I've done a bunch of them. I've done a bunch of Sunday nights after special meetings, after those meetings, and I've learned that. And so this is our last point tonight. I do have a conclusion, but it's not very long. That'll take me 34, 40 minutes, my conclusion. No. John 20. Now, you remember when Jesus rose from the dead and appeared to his disciples? They were all there except Thomas, right? And they all got to see. Jesus said, look, here's the holes in my hand. It's me. The same guy that went to the cross, it's me. And they all got to see that. They told Thomas, he said, look, unless I see those things, unless I touch him, I won't believe. He said, I refuse to believe. You know, you can hear the word of God, and the person sitting next to you hears it. You believe it. The person next to you says, I'm not looking at husband and wife. But you understand, somebody else can hear the exact same thing and make a choice not to believe. Guess what? No faith deposited with them. So Jesus comes to Thomas, and he shows him those things. And look at verse 29, John 20, 29. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe. Now notice here, new covenant faith, in other words, faith in this new covenant, is to believe without seeing first. He said to him, you believe because you have seen. But notice this, blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe. Here's Jesus teaching us that we are to believe first, then the manifestation will follow. Believe first, without seeing. And we know, we're encouraged in be like God, Romans 4:17, who calls things that be not as though they were. He speaks as if it is present day reality, even though it might be a future event. He speaks as if it's already done. Faith believes before it sees. Faith speaks before it sees. Faith praises God before it sees. Amen. So faith is how the just, those who are declared righteous, that's how we live. Jesus responded to faith over and over. Of the 19, or I think there's not, I believe there's 19. Somebody the other day I heard say talk about there's 20. I don't know which one they're talking about, but 19 instances of individuals where we have testimonies. Jesus emphasized their faith, and Jesus responded to their faith. Faith is how we overcome. And then finally, faith, remember this, faith is not a moment. Faith is our lifestyle. It's not a moment. It's not an experience. It's not an event. It is our lifestyle. Now, thank God for moments. Thank God for experiences. Thank God for events. But faith is believing the entire time. Faith is acting the entire time. Faith is speaking the entire time. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand up today, tonight. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just a reminder and a encouragement there to keep on believing. Keep on believing. Don't short circuit your miracle with allowing doubt and unbelief in. Amen. What's that little saying? Fear knocked on the door, faith answered, and there was nobody there. Don't even open the door for fear. Just keep speaking in faith. Praise the Lord. Our prayer team's coming down right now. If you need prayer for anything, men, come to the men, ladies, to the ladies. They'll pray with you according to the word of God. Amen. Don't forget Wednesday night, Hour of Power. Be here Wednesday night, Hour of Power. And, of course, next Sunday morning, 10 and 6 o'clock at evening. Amen. God bless you. We're good to go. Tell somebody you love them tonight. You are dismissed in Jesus' name.